Like we do it.
Greetings. How are you guys?
Awesome.
I'm here. Well, I don't know. If you're listening to this, then we all survived the eclipse and the world did not end.
Oh.
The eclipse already happened?
Well, no, it will have happened when this comes out on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Theater of the Mind, Jordan. Play along.
I was like, why is everyone freaking about tomorrow then? I was like, oh.
Yeah,
because people are freaking out about tomorrow, but we're not living in tomorrow. We're living in Sunday, but everybody's hearing this on Tuesday or afterwards. Yeah. So if we survive the apocalypse, if the rapture did not happen. So here we go.
Well, we all know if the rapture is going to happen, the three of us are still going to be here. It's okay.
That's true, actually.
We're not going anywhere.
Like they said about Lisa Rinna, I'm like a cockroach. Can't get rid of me.
Oh, I don't know if y'all caught it real quick. I did a TikTok and then I reposted it on my Instagram about Diddy, because we spoke briefly about Diddy and pop culture. And so I went deeper into his chart and how actually the lunar eclipse hit his chart and it activated that raid, his raid and the lunar eclipse. But then I realized it was like, oh, the previous solar eclipse activated his chart too. So like, dude, the bitch is fucked. So. I know this is the Bravo podcast, but if people are interested, go to my Instagram or my TikTok and listen to the full thing. But yeah, if you're interested. If you're not, then that's okay. You don't have to. But let's move on to Bravo. Sorry about that.
Speaking of natural disasters.
Oh, that's right.
I know. I was like, we had that bit. I'm saying we because I'm used to us being the earthquake people here in LA. No, they had the big earthquake back east in New York and New Jersey. So I guess it affected a bunch of housewives who've never been through it before.
I was actually surprised it was 4.8. I mean, that's that's a strong tumbler there. So, and go ahead.
I was just kidding. The biggest one on record in New York City is a 5.2, and that was in 1884. So this wasn't that much smaller.
Damn. Yeah. Well, what I thought was hilarious was that the big story, and you know, God bless her, but you know that Melissa Gorga just ran to whoever her contacts are in, you know, tabloid journalism to be like, this freaked me out so much. I thought it was a ghost. And like, that's her story, was that she, and the clickbait headline was that she thought it was a ghost. So she called 911. But then if you read the story, yeah, exactly. Cause like, what are you going to do? You call 911 and like, you're like, I think a ghost is in my house. What are they going to do? Like send a spiritual advisor, the spiritual police or ghost? You should have called Ghostbusters.
Yeah. The movie's literally in the movie theater right now. She couldn't figure out who to call.
I saw a screenshot of that headline and I legit just thought there are certain accounts that for fun make like parody headlines. And I was cracking up like, oh, she would be that dumb. Until you guys told me, I didn't realize that was a real headline.
It was a real headline. Yeah, and some people think that she actually called 911, but apparently she didn't. She brought it up on her phone, and she was about to press it, and then she realized that it wasn't, because other people were like, because her store employees were calling, being like, did you feel that? And then she was like, oh, it's not just at my house. So,
called her friends at Page Six in the Daily Mail instead.
Exactly. Yeah, bless her heart. Yep. But I do like all the East Coasters being like, oh, whoa, so this is what it's like. Okay. Like, we got a hurricane finally. They got an earthquake. So there we go.
I grew up in 1994 Northridge. So, like, this stuff doesn't. It's like, ha. But then if it's like, if it drops to like 40 degrees outside, on the flip side, I'm such a fragile weakling when it comes to weather. So I guess they laugh at me for that as well.
Just wait till you guys get a tornado. That shit is wild.
Honey, I grew up in Texas. We got
no. Yes, I know you know. I don't think Jordan knows. I know you know.
He doesn't.
Yeah, I was gonna start singing. I was gonna start singing "Texas Hold'em" right now.
So, oh, no, that's gonna cost a lot of money. Let's not do that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, backtrack. Oh, you know what? We could move forward from that. There's another storm of brewing in Real Housewives, especially New Jersey world. And that is the Caroline Manzo, Brandy Glanville, Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip Morocco. Damn. There's been some progress in the court case and the lawsuits.
It's getting deeper. Like, this is like way more surfacey. It's more than surface level than we thought.
Yeah,
like,
I guess it came out and I read it in Page Six, but it was out there from court proceedings. Bravo's clapping back at Caroline Manzo. Mm-hmm. They are essentially calling her allegations of sexual harassment by Brandy false. And they're explaining the process they went through with Caroline and checking on her and getting her consent, the word, her okay to keep filming and asking her what was wrong. And the version of events that this producer gave who turned over the footage. So, by the way, that kind of kills our hopes of seeing Morocco anytime soon, because essentially that footage is locked up as evidence or tied up as evidence in legal wranglings. But that they spoke to Caroline immediately when it happened, and it wasn't that Brandy had sexually violated her. It's that her behavior triggered memories of having been sexually violated, and that's where it came from. So they're shutting down the rumors. They're saying it's not Brandy's fault and it's not our fault. We did everything we could. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. This is my thing. I really want this to go to trial because I want to hear. Like, I think to me, this is way more interesting than like Heard v. Depp, which I ended up getting into. We all did kind of like, but I would rather get into this, to be honest with you, because for so many reasons, I can't even go into them. It makes my brain
I would love to see them take the stand. I love that scene. I know it's not Legally Blonde or Law and Order, but I'd love to see like Brandy.
Oh, yeah.
The court doors swing open and out comes them.
But I don't want cameras in
her
the room.
Her long legs.
I want court sketches of Brandy. That's way funnier than actual cameras. I just want to see those ridiculous sketches.
How about court sketches of Caroline Manzo? Those aren't going to be flattering.
Those are going to vacillate wildly, to be honest with you. Like, well, I mean, yeah, honestly, any court sketch really vacillates wildly. You can tell whether a court sketch artist likes the person or not. You really can. You really can tell whether they like them or not.
Yeah. So it is moving forward, and at least we have some direction now, because it's been two sides. Bravo's kind of tried to stay out of it, or they've kept quiet because you have Caroline suing them for Brandy's actions and Brandy threatening a lawsuit over it. So, and now they're fighting back, but they've picked a lane now and they're saying Caroline is wrong and they're willing to fight it. They're not paying her off to go away. I think they want to make sure they have to like hold the line, because it is a slippery slope with this reality reckoning. I mean, they cave on one, all the suits are going to flood in. Mm-hmm. Leah McSweeney's going to triple down and take them to like the UN, to the Hague for war crimes. So I think they're putting up a strong front.
Oh my gosh. Did you see, we don't even have this on our list, but did you see that she was on one of the cable news networks talking briefly about her lawsuit, but then talking about her new sober dating app that she's come up with? Yeah, the look on your face. And look, and I'm sober. Nate's sober. You don't drink as much as you used to. Like, I think we're not knocking a sober dating app. It really just was like, oh, really? That's just rich coming from you, Leah McSweeney. Like, I'm sorry. You're not the paradigm of sobriety and virtue. And not that we need like perfect victims or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, I feel like people are going to just respond in on our Twitters, just being like, yeah, which by the way, I love our followers, but sometimes they don't get our Twitter handle completely right. And then we miss tweets from them.
Yeah, we've been seeing some, and we love you for thinking of us, but you missed the Y in pretty. You put at Pret Corrupt One.
So yeah.
Remember that Y? Because then we miss them, and then it's like we're rude, but we're not. We
only see them if you tag us individually.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't always want to be rude. We just want to be rude to some people. but we do. We want to hear. But yeah. But anyway, so that just reminded me. Because I agree. They can't. This is also one I feel like they're like, we have legs to fight this on because we have so many other witnesses with cast members, crew members. They have footage. They have all this stuff. And they've been taking their time of getting their ducks in a row at NBC Universal Bravo. You know what I mean? Of being like, this is Peacock. Like, this is what we have to do to get this all here. But I think this is the one they're like, okay, like you said, it's a slippery slope. We'll fight this one. We have the most here. And I think also the Leah McSweeney one, they can probably fight the most.
That one seems to me, Leah seems to have the weakest case. This is just we've discussed it on here before. The reality reckoning lawyers didn't take Leah McSweeney's case. I mean, they've taken Raquel, they've taken Brandy. I think they just took Faith Stowers.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah, from Pump Rules. They are not taking Leah's, and that says a lot because I don't think the bar is that high to become one of their clients. So, they're like, you ruined season 13 in New York. You are not taking the network down with you. You've done enough to us.
Wolf.
Well, I mean, on that note, there is sad news in the Bravo, like genuinely sad news, not saying that with like a wink. I guess you guys saw she went on Instagram this weekend, Lori Peterson, OG of the OC, and revealed on Easter Sunday her son Josh died at 35. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace.
So sad. It's so sad.
He was one of the OG Housewives kids from season one, and he was troubled from the beginning. I mean, it's sad. Like, we kind of watched this unfold, and over the years, it would pop up in the news because he'd go to jail and stuff and have legal struggles. But I remember her first season tagline is just her picking up the phone and saying, are the cops involved?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
he would like there were issues with him and you know addiction stuff and law things and everything. And it's sad because like also like granted she came later, but Tamra had issues with her eldest son Ryan. But he like no matter how people feel about Ryan in other ways, he did clean that part. He did clean his act up somewhat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's not saying he's a perfect person either, but you know, I think, but Josh just really, he had it rough and he just never, I think we all hoped because Lori fell out of the public eye. Like we always respected her as an OG and everything. And she was the Cinderella, you know, princess.
I love her story arc and the way she did it the right way. A trendsetter. I mean, before things got too murky, She married a rich man, and literally the picture, them riding off into the sunset and on a horse. Yeah. So, I mean, she kind of like struck gold and was like, bye, except for
And they're still together, right? Mm-hmm. Right? They're still together. And they're also, Nate, they're age appropriate. This is where the couple, like this rich guy meets a woman who's his age. And he falls in love with her and her three kids. And like, and he, it's the Brady Bunch because he's got three kids too. Oh, and they come together and they get married. Like literally, like it really is like middle-aged, second marriage type of like goals, like to be honest with you. It really is.
Yeah, they had both been divorced. And one of her taglines was like, I've been rich and I've been poor and I've been rich again. Life's easier having, it's just easier having money.
Oh, you've mentioned that before. Really, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I like her. And then, of course, she came back to just to taunt Vicky. Vicky hated her. Out of jealousy. I mean, Lori got everything Vicky wanted. She just had men taking care of her, that fairy tale ending. Where Vicky's had to fight for every dime for herself, and she gets tired of life and the struggle. And Lori began as her like secretary or assistant in the office.
Yep.
And then boom.
Wow.
So.
Yep. Yeah, she met this guy.
But I mean, that's besides the point. It is very. That was shocking, actually, when she posted it on Instagram, like a farewell to him, and even thanked the public for all the people who had supported him and tried to help him over the years. Yeah.
Just really sad.
Yeah.
Boy. Well, on that note, I think we need to take a second. We'll be right back. You know, it's funny. I was going to say, welcome back. We're heading over to Valley Village. But both of these shows really are about Valley Village.
Pretty much.
So I guess we should start with Vanderpump Rules. Let's just go from there.
Sounds good to me.
How did you like this week's episode? I had a lot of thoughts.
I loved it. No, I didn't really. It was fine, I guess. It was fine.
Can we talk about the water tasting?
Please,
yes,
let's do. It's so fascinating.
I know. It's not so much the event, which obviously was horrible and thrown together in James' backyard. It was just like
with a weird, but German. I think he. I don't know what that water gentleman was, but I think he sounded Germanish. So. Yeah.
You know, it's probably on purpose. I bet you he's from like Reno or like Florida.
Yeah.
And he just has
he sounded like Franck from Father of the Bride.
He did.
Yeah, and he's trying to sell them on this $1,000 bottle of sparkling water. I mean, that is
for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But the other part about it is, I mean, now we have water tastings. I've noticed this season, everyone drinks Heineken Zero. They're all drinking non-alcoholic beer for the most part. And it's like a big thing. I don't know if Heineken Zero sponsors it because every time they order a non-alcoholic beer, it's one of those. And I'm just like this is too grown up and I don't really. We signed up for a show about people who are like drinking on the job, doing drugs on the job, sleeping together on the job. I mean,
that's why Southern Hospitality is the show to watch when it is on, because that's old school VPR basically. So
yeah, like water taste. I was just like, Lala could have come up with something. I don't know. Anytime an event like this happens that's so like weird and feels forced, I think there's some kind of sponsorship deal they're looking for or is being planted with this. Like, is she going to have send it to Daryl by Perrier or I don't know what it is. Give them Pellegrino. But I just felt like it was kind of forced and out of, it wasn't in their characters. And obviously, they didn't enjoy it.
No. I would never make fun of Lala's sobriety because, you know, we Stacey, you and I don't drink anymore, but her quote about the sparkling water was fucking hysterical, where her quote was, "Sparkling water has been there for me when I want to get buck wild." Nobody's ever said that, that sparkling water, it gets, helps you get buck wild. And like the funniest thing, Kate, to me, the funniest thing Katie said all season is when they drank the $1,000 bottle and then it cut to Katie's confessional. She's like, it tasted like water.
Yeah.
As it does. Yeah. Oh, good God.
I do have to say, speaking of Katie, I liked her this episode. I honestly, the chemistry between her and Schwartz was endearing.
I actually,
something there. You could see the glimmer, like what could have been, you know, that there's like a connection.
But this is the thing is that A, I'm happy that you're coming around on Katie. B, you know, it's also growth. It's growth on all of our parts, including Katie's part too. Mm-hmm. But it also, I think, shows us that these are people who should have only been in maybe an 18-month long relationship. That's it. Like that's where they're relate. That's how long their relationship should have lasted. Not 12 years. Not 12 years at all. So
yeah.
Schwartz did have that great line at the beach day where he was talking about all the cheating he may have done in the past. And he said, well, from a statistical standpoint, I was pretty faithful. And he was trying to do the math on the number of days they were married. It was pretty funny. And Kate even laughed. Yeah. She thought it was actually kind of funny.
They came around.
She thought it was funny that he was doing that. That he had the audacity to say that. Yeah. That's what she thought was funny.
True.
You do realize, by the way, had we not, a few years ago, like a few seasons ago, before Scandoval really kind of kicked the show back in the headlines and stuff, when it was really slow, and that Katie and Max hookup would have been the drama for the season. They would have dragged it out. They would have turned it into an investigation and fights, and it would have gone on and it would have been horrible and the show would have been canceled. And so I was actually glad to see it wrapped up really, like, it was just like a cute little side story and it wrapped up in a nice way. And that was it. It's over. Mm-hmm. They don't have to.
I'm sure Sheena's not happy about that. Yeah. I'm sure Sheena was trying to make it to be something more, but then Schwartz realized he was going to lose that argument because he was like, oh crap, yeah, I screwed the pooch. Yeah. What I did last year, so yeah, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah. But I guess getting back then to the real story, it's Scandoval continues this water tasting. We had
one of the more uncomfortable
they finally got Ariana and Tom together. Yeah. I mean, and it exploded.
It went well.
But
it went well.
They've been dancing around each other, and this was a confrontation.
Well, because they were not in a public place. Mm-hmm. Before they were at a bar, I think it was either the Belmont or the Dime, and then they were also at Hotel Ziggy.
Yeah.
So those two places, they were in public. So this, they were at James's house. It was amongst friends
and it was
and
close
crew.
Quarters. They were in the little kitchen off the little boy.
Just looking at how uncomfortable everybody, like Lala, they kept cutting to Lala. She's just trying to eat her cheese pizza, and she's just. I was so uncomfortable watching it. I was just trying to figure out where the pizza was from. I was like looking at the green blurred out box.
Pizza Hut.
Like, was it Pizza Hut?
No. It was not Pizza Hut.
It was. No. They screwed up on it. They screwed up on the blurring.
There's
still a Pizza Hut logo.
Oh, I thought it was Little Caesars.
I
have a screenshot because I needed to know.
I saw it also. I saw it was a green box. So I'm like, is that Papa John's? And I was like, wait, no, it could be Marco's. That Marco's are pretty big in the valley. And that also has – that's all I was mesmerized on, these stupid boxes.
I don't think we have Marco's. I've seen it in like on trips.
I think there's one in Van Nuys.
I don't know if we have that out here.
It was just uncomfortable.
They screwed up on the blurring. So the brand was actually in one little corner and they missed the whole logo.
Oh, that sucks to be.
Either way, it wasn't fancy pizza. It was like, yeah.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't fancy pizza. There was no charcuterie board.
It wasn't
to go along
like,
with their sparkling water.
Like, no ranch dressing.
No fromage. No ranch dressing.
That was
I love it. When he was like, I'll run after him. And then she's like, hard. He's doing too much. And I was like, exactly.
Well, this is where I think the fight, he clearly was trying to play. And I had a lot of, like, because I had to rewatch that whole meltdown because I felt different ways each time I watched it. But I see why she would be furious and annoyed, because he was playing that eager, nice guy. And that's where I get the frustration. This was like a pressure cooker situation. And he was kind of gaslighting her with the kindness to everyone.
Because it's a mask of like how I'm the nice guy to like everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think back to Jax and Brittany's wedding. And he was like the guy with like this whole kit, like this best man or groomsman kit. And he had everything from like safety pins to tampons, like whatever anybody. And I was like, who is this guy? Like, I thought it was a little sweet, but I also thought it was sus at the time. I was like, what's going on here? Like, this is excessive for any man. Anybody, because even some of my girlfriends would not do this for a wedding. Like, a wedding planner does this because they've got a checklist. A straight man definitely does not do this. I was like, of his own volition, unless he is paid money to do it and has been given a list to him by a woman or a gay man, but most likely a woman, because a gay man wouldn't think about tampons either. So, like, come the fuck on. I got really mad when he and Kyle Chan and Schwartz were having their dinner, like supposedly like the day after or later on, this was after the beach day. So much happened. We had the water tasting. Yeah, we had beach day too.
Yeah.
In the same episode. So I can't remember which happened when, but basically when the three of them were having dinner together, he goes off and they're like, oh, this wasn't a scene. But then I was like, I watched it on Peacock. So maybe I saw it and it wasn't in the original broadcast. I'm not sure. But like, he goes off and he starts again calling Ariana lazy. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one who like cleans out the cat box.
The only bill she's ever paid.
Yeah.
He actually said, stuff. I don't know how her ass gets wiped. She can't do anything for herself was one of his lines.
He said that?
Yeah.
He did. He did. He said that. And it was like, oh, excuse me, sir. Anne has just told us at the beginning of the episode that she actually has to pick up your dirty underwear when she is cleaning your house for you as your assistant, not as your housekeeper, not as your house manager, but as your assistant. I don't think you pay her to clean up your underwear. Let's also talk about the fact that like you literally picked up and that's what they are. They are disposable litter things and put it in a trash bag. That's what you did. That's what you did. And if you claim that these are your cats, that these are your pets, well, then it is your job to also clean up after them. If you want the personal, if you want the claim and the fame and the sympathy that these are your pets too, then they're your responsibility to clean up and feed and take care of as well. I was like, but we're also talking about a man who he's weaponizing Ariana's mental health again and her depression over just being finding out that her partner of 10 years was cheating on her for months, just a few months ago. And now she still has to live with him because she's not going to give up her legal rights to that home. Legal rights, because they are not married. So she's not going to do that. And like, how often does he clean just for the cameras? Because there's plenty of times we see him not cleaning for the cameras too. Yeah. But also, and how many times can I say it? But also, I remember people talking about how badly that man smells, period. In person.
Yeah, he looks like he smells.
People who have seen him, who have met him. Oh, yeah.
He's so into grooming.
But he's so gross. He's like that guy who, like, it's not that he wears natural deodorant. It's that he doesn't wear deodorant. It's that he doesn't, like, he's like a Mila Kunis, Ashton Kutcher, like, doesn't bathe, you know, regularly type of guy. Like, likes to sit in his, like, every bathing is for everybody. I'm clean in my own way. Like, my own sweat cleans my own body type of bullshit like that. Fire. But he's been smelling since he was with Kristen. Like, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe I've heard Kristen talk about stuff about, like, him being dirty and like smelling and stuff like that. And then Ariana goes, yeah, he doesn't change like underwear. Is like, and he's complaining about me not wanting to sleep with him. I was like, abso-fucking-lutely. Mm. Like, look at you. Like, she's not going around bad mouthing you, saying things that didn't happen or talking about, like, she's just talking about stuff that has happened. Like,
there was something she did in that water tasting scene that actually bothered me. It wasn't the rage. I know there have been discourse about rage. She's in a pressure cooker. It's mental torture. She's trapped with him at home, at work. I totally get her going off. But what bothered me was when she said, I'm going to call 911 and say you're harassing me. That, to me, trivialized domestic violence. And like, it makes it harder to take women who call for help seriously. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was kind of like the girl who cried wolf. Like, mm-hmm. she said out loud, like, I'm going to file a false police report because I'm mad at you. And mm-hmm. that was the one time where I was like, whoa, I had to rewatch that, rewind it a few times to make sure I caught it correctly. Cause it's like, whoa, bitch, you know? Yeah. But that part, I felt crossed a line.
Mm-hmm. I do agree with you. I will say, though, are we sure that he's not harassing her at home, though?
No.
Well, this was what we saw in the moment. Yeah. And honestly, yeah, exactly. It's not like she needs to issue a public apology. It was in the moment of mental. But that was one thing where I was like, that really isn't. That's like, what do they call white girl tears? It was like very, you know, like you yeah. see those TikToks.
Yeah, it could be that. I also. Yeah, I guess I can't see. Like, I mean, I saw it more as like raising the stakes on him of like, you keep raising these stakes so high and keep saying these things. Well, I'm going to say something even more mm-hmm. ridiculous right now. But I get what you're saying. I can agree with that.
Because she was, that part bothered me. I was like, but also because I do understand her anger. I mean, honestly, I was thinking about her being trapped in there because I would ghost someone who did what he did. But she can't ghost him. They own a home together. They're coworkers, and their job is to be social in the same mm-hmm. social circle. Mm-hmm. There's no escaping him. So I get that. I just that's that little thing. I was just like, it's not good for other. It's not good. It's not good for other women either. So it's like
it's not good for poor Anne. I appreciate that she was such a focal point of the plot, but poor Anne. Although it's entirely unclear. I wrote a note like halfway through the episode. I'm like, did Anne quit or was she fired? Because it's completely unclear. This was halfway through. And at the end, it was even more unclear because Sandoval doesn't know. Ariana knows, but is not saying. I love the thought that Sandoval has an HR department and he offers workers' comp and insurance because that's not true. None of that is true. But the way Anne interviewed at the beginning, it was like, okay, that's bold of her, unless she's already quit. Because why? She's interviewing for a new job, a floor below Sandoval. So at that point, she had to have quit. Like, the whole timeline doesn't make any sense.
It's very confusing. Yeah. I mean, I have a feeling, to me, it seems like that she wanted to work for Ariana and not him, but like, it was more like kind of like I really want to work for you, but I know that I can't, but let's have this moment for the camera. Let's like do something fun.
Yeah. And then it was adorable that she dressed up
and is unhappy and basically, and fires her in retaliation, but doesn't, and like a Tom Sandoval doesn't fire her outright. Just talks about it and makes her feel really bad and guilts her and like does all this stuff to her and makes her think that she's fired, but without really firing her type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like he mind fucks her and stuff. So that's what I think happened, but I agree. I don't know exactly.
Do we know like from outside, like social media, was that the last we'll see of Anne?
No, she doesn't work for Ariana, no.
Oh, no, I thought in real time now she doesn't.
No, she doesn't. I mean, because she knew it was, they knew it wasn't going to work, that would be, like, Ariana was outright. She was like, I would love for that to happen, but, like, we know, like, She's not going to tempt fate like that. See, she's not as not crazy like people think that she is. She's not that yeah. terrible.
It was like a cute, it was a pickup scene or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it was just like filler. Mm. I don't think it was serious. Like she even later on said, Ariana said, I was trying to like gauge what I should look for, what tasks to give a personal assistant. She wasn't actually interviewing. Yeah. She was trying to get like input from Anna on what to ask for in an assistant. I don't think she was actually going to hire Anna the way Anna wanted it to play out.
But, well, and then Katie and Ariana said that she'll try to help him with the sandwich shop. So who knows?
Also, Sandoval is threatening legal action against Anna now because I guess she's doing podcasts or she has a podcast about this.
She has a podcast and it's called I Signed an NDA and I've listened to it, but she doesn't talk about that. Like she doesn't talk about anything private that she has on, like, as far as I'm concerned, it's probably going to be a frivolous fucking lawsuit that's going to cost Anne fucking money to defend, and it's going to get thrown out, and he's going to be a dickhead for wasting everybody's time and money. And money for like an, you know, a struggling actor, you know, fuck him. Fuck him.
That's another one. I guess we should probably hop to the Valley soon, but it just occurred to me with lawyers and Ariana and Sandoval. I was going back and forth with the furniture issue. Because at first I was like, this is such a, it's such a waste for Ariana. How much is that furniture given having a lawyer sort it out at like what, 500 plus an hour? But then I was like, it's not about the financial value. It's not that she even wants the furniture. It's part of healing. Because she said, you know, he ruined my dream house and the life I thought, whatever. She needs to she can't leave that house as it was, how she built it for him to enjoy. So I get it. It's petty. She's not going to profit from that. She's throwing money into legal bills to get furniture that's not worth that much. But I do get the logic behind it. Just like she can't leave the house as his for him to go on enjoying. She needs to get a little spite in if she's going to leave the house. Because I was like, why are you being so petty about sofas in a $3 million home? Mm-hmm. But
there's a term and I've been trying to remember it. It's called betrayal. Abuse, betrayal, not betrayal, abuse, but betrayal something. Shit. It'll come to me, but as I talk it out. But she's kind of stuck, I would say, even now a year later, even though they're filming now or whatever. Like, she's stuck in a pattern of not being able to heal completely, even now, until she like gets, like you're saying, like, it's like, I need to get out of this house, but I need to take this furniture. Like, yes, if he gets to keep these things that we built together, that I put a hand in, that I like, because remember, Katie and Tom moved into a similar house and they just bought, it was fully furnished and they just bought it and they just took it that way. Whereas like Tom and Ariana, they kept talking about how they were going to take time and they got a lot of shit from people for having an unfurnished home. But they're like, we're taking time, we're like buying all this stuff. And so if she's taken this time and even him, like they've taken time to do these things and purchase these things. Then she's like, yeah, I'm not just going to leave him in this house with the man who like blew up everything and blew up my life and like something that I took all this time. Because you just, it kind of, that betrayal can like stick with you. The betrayal already, it just is another hit of betrayal that kind of keeps coming after you. And just the different ways that you can minimize that, that's one of the ways that you can minimize it. I'm all for it.
My first thought was like, because, you know, I look at strategy and finances and practical stuff. I was like, well, what she should do is inventory it and just, if he wants it, tack that on to, he has to pay an additional amount on top of his offer to like basically keep the house furnished. But then I started thinking, no emotional intelligence. I don't like it. But I was like, I get what she's doing. She can't leave that house intact for him to enjoy. Like, you know, I mean, like, part of her, it's a victory for her that will help her move on. She's not going to be thinking back to their, it will no longer be their house together. She can pull a few things away.
And she also probably knows in her heart that if he got to keep the house and keep most of the furniture, if not all of the furniture, buy her out, then immediately he would just turn around and he would sell the house and sell all the furnishings and take all of that with him. And he would, and you know, and then she would just be like, are you fucking serious? Are you serious? Like, you fought me so hard. You wanted to keep the house. I finally gave in. You wanted to keep the furniture. I finally gave in. And then you just turn around and you sell it all. And that's what she doesn't want to happen. You know, and I'm with her on that, you know, sometimes.
I don't think, just before we leave, enough credit gets, you mentioned before how you think Lala is basically works for production. Like she helps to keep the plot lines going. I love that Brock is too, but in the, he's the messiest bitch possible. Like the way he stirs shit up. Like he was the one a few weeks ago who told Schwartz about Max and he threw Sheena under the bus. Then this time he lobbed the Raquel joke grenade at Beach Day, which everybody was being fine until he made that Raquel joke and then all hell broke loose. And he even did it on the other show where we talked about where he told Jax to pants his friend. Like Brock is just such a shit stir and he gets away with everything because he's adorable.
He has that those accents.
Husband. It's the accent. It's the accent.
Those Commonwealth accents. Like, I just learned this episode. He was from New Zealand. I assumed Australia. Yeah. Like same thing in my mind. No, you get. But like,
ooh, no, no. Sorry to our listeners. There's gonna be some down fighting under. Words. It is not the same thing.
No, but I was like, yeah. So I wonder if he gets paid.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I wonder if he's a full-time. I don't know his cast status is what I mean. But
maybe
at this point, he gets paid, but like for appearances. But I don't know if he's friend of or if Sheena and him are like, we'll have to get carrying like double pump income. We'll have to see.
I'm sure Sheena's trying to make that work or make that happen. Yeah. You know, well, I appreciate, you know, Ariana's rage at Beach Day was, I found interesting because, you know, because Brock lobbed that out there and then then she got so mad. And then she was like, the way that she called out all the men, and that was really good. And you could tell all the guys just kind of shut the fuck up because they were like, oh, she's calling us out. And it was like, yeah, dude, you're all sitting there. Shitting on her, not shitting on him, like trying to defend them, trying to make it all like okay. And again, I'm just like, why is she the one who has to make everything okay to make everybody else feel all right? She doesn't have to make everybody else feel all right. It's okay. Like everybody can feel uncomfortable in this situation. I know it's America and we don't like to do that. We don't like to do that. We like to like eat sugar and watch Netflix and get stoned and drink stuff and like not feel our feelings. But like, it's okay not to feel okay, like to feel uncomfortable about stuff. So, like, but anyway, that's my feminist rant for the night. Or maybe my third. I don't know. So we should move back on to the Valley.
Yeah. From Valley Village, right over to Valley Village.
Long drive.
Hashtag, yeah, the Valley. Our sweet toxic angel, Kristen. Oh. She lied to us. Can I say she lied to PCP directly on Instagram? You guys can go and check. Mm-hmm. Our last promo last week, I was saying how excited I was for the Valley. We were saying that because it was like, Kristen's like one of my favorites. I love, she's like a agent of chaos. I think I called her like a toxic princess. Mm-hmm. And she laughed and commented like, this butterfly is evolving.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
She's like, and send us kisses. Like, haha. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No growth.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if this was this is my first experience with Kristen outside of the stupid twisted nipple and all the nothing that happened in the first two episodes. I don't know if this was the full Kristen experience, but it was a Kristen experience. She was messy. She was messy.
If she was at the Capri dinner party with a cig at the table, then it would have been the full, but yeah, you got you got the pattern of behavior from her. Mm-hmm. That is mm-hmm. That has earned her a special place in my heart.
There were some great lines about her when Brittany said that, Kristen just does things sometimes, which is the most, that's like a bless your heart kind of. And she's like, kind of like Jax. She just does stuff sometimes.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that Zach mm-hmm. had the great line when he, Kristen accused Zach of throwing her under the bus over everything. And Zach's line was, threw you under the bus. You're the bus driver. You're driving over all of the dead bodies. I was like, Zach, that's a good line. It's a very good line.
Oh, one thing about Zach I have to say. So we heard from Zach on Instagram here at PCP mm-hmm. this week as well, because, you know, that his hair has become an obsession. Is it real? Is it done? What is it? Anyways, so we put up in stories that Zach's hair deserves its own seat at the reunion. And Zach responded and shared it to Andy Cohen saying, if there is a Valley reunion, which means hasn't been confirmed, I guess, yet, unless he just has to play by that. Anyways, if there is a Valley reunion, his hair will need a seat.
So. Agreed.
I agree.
I'm still not entirely sure what a Capri party is, because I don't know what that was. That was just dinner. Like, and no, like a, none of the, nobody else, like Jax had no idea. He just thought it meant wearing tight pants. Nobody knew what a Capri party was. It was supposed to be sophisticated, according to Jesse. And that was not sophisticated, by the way.
Yeah. That was so fun. You know, what's interesting is that there were two Capri parties this week. Oh my God, balloons now. There were two Capri parties this week. There was the one on the Valley, and then there was one on Summer House, because it was Paige's evening to do dinner. And so she literally hired a caterer and a bartender to like do a whole Capri thing. And they dined al fresco. And that definitely looked more Italian, like more like Italian outside drinking limoncello type of thing than the Capri dinner that Jesse did.
They had it's Capri just to sell a house. Salad. Yeah. Yeah.
The Valley one was at a house, a ultra modern house in Beverly Hills. It wasn't overlooking the ocean. It wasn't in the Hamptons. Yeah. I mean, it really just, I think the guy wanted to wear linen. And one other thing, can we talk about
Jax? He tried to sell a house.
Yeah.
And show that he's a realtor.
He is. Yeah, he is. It was like what Mauricio would do. Like, you know, they'd host parties at listings. But we're calling it Capri. Most Americans call it Capri. How many times can Jesse Lawley say Capri?
Have I been pronouncing it wrong this whole time? I'd like to amend my statement from last week where I said Jesse was a charming asshole. I take that back. He's just an asshole. Man, oh was he. Good Lord. He was.
The marriage counseling. The marriage counseling. How long? He reminded me of Cartman in this episode of South Park where they tell him he's not a nice person, so he's not invited to Casa Bonita for a birthday party. So he's determined to pretend to be nice until he gets the invite. And Jesse, when he asked the therapist, how long do I have to compliment her for until I get what I want?
Yeah. That was the first therapist or like even like couples therapist or life coach or whoever who I've seen on any of these shows over almost 20 fucking years of watching Bravo that I've seen spout intelligent advice.
I was going to say the same thing. Like what he was saying sounded, I'm like, okay, this guy's legit. Some of the other people they have on these shows do not seem, but this guy's, oh, like, okay, this is helpful.
Because he wasn't pandering to either one of them, to be honest with you. Like, it felt like real therapy, like real couples therapy of like, this is what you need to like hear, like what's going on. Like, you need to voice your stuff, but like also like you're not listening to like, yo, dude, what the fuck? Like,
one of the craziest things that they didn't like kind of just blew right past is that when Jesse was explaining why they're having the Capri party because of how much he loves Capri, and how they go there every year, and they showed a photo montage of like every single year they go to Capri. Yet at the very beginning, he said, yeah, Michelle doesn't like it there. We still go every year, even though my wife does not like it. That just tells you everything you need to know about Jesse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the dinner goes super sideways with the everybody yelling shut the fuck up at everybody, which Luke's the one who truly deserved the shut the fuck up, because you do not yell calm down. There is no situation where calm down de-escalates anything if you tell somebody to calm down. And then Jesse says shut the fuck up, and then Luke does his going from 0 to 100 in a second, and he tries to get up and kill Jesse because he has some anger issues.
That's the thing about Luke that creeps me out. Jesse, okay, he's quick to anger, and you can see it. Luke gives me that, like, kind of, he's seething under the surface. Still waters run deep. So as soon as he was like, calm down, you could see him trembling and turning red. And, like, I'm like, it's that kind of, like, I don't want to, I'm not accusing him of it, but like a serial killer vibe.
Yeah.
Like he's very quiet and very, and then he snaps. And like you could see him shaking, and I was just like, "Dude, your girlfriend. Sorry, I know you have to like pretend to defend her, but you don't take this isn't one to take one for the team on." Like,
yeah,
they both strike me as different versions of the same guy who, you know, very quick to anger. Like when Jesse was like, "Let my wife talk," basically let Michelle talk, and then was like. And then shushed her to tell somebody else. And literally put a backhand up to in front of her face to shush her. Like, these are both guys who – this is just my opinion. But these are both guys who I could see, like, you know, they've maybe put a fist through a wall before. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Near somebody's head before. Yeah. Like, not into somebody's head, just into a wall. You know, this is like, we're all allowed to get angry at times, but that's just like, A, it's rage. B, it's somewhat performative because it's like, let me show you how much I'm defending my woman here. Mm-hmm. But it's not productive at all. You're actually not being a good boyfriend or husband by escalating things. At all. You can defend somebody, you can defend your partner without escalating a situation, and neither one of them know how to do that, and that's a complete lack of maturity.
I think with Luke, part of it isn't even defending Kristen. I think he's bothered by how little the other guys respect him. I mean, Jax sees him as a joke. And so I think what he's doing is like puffing his chest and trying to show them he's like telling Jax to apologize to her last episode and this, like he's tough and formidable. And I think they're just like, okay, whatever, scrawny serial killer. Like,
and he brought up the nipple again. Like, he's the only one still talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of questions
about the nipple.
Oh yeah,
all season long.
I hope so. The thing, getting back to what you said with Jesse, where he like shushed Michelle by putting his hand in his face, her face. He's not defending her in any way. This whole thing, he even flat out said he doesn't care that they're calling his wife a racist. He cares what that's going to do for his business. He actually flat out said her being called a racist is bad for our real estate company. He doesn't care about what they're calling her. Mm-hmm. It's all about him. Mm-hmm. So again, like I said, I take back the charming part from last week.
Yeah.
I will also quibble real quick with, shit, I just forgot his name. Our favorite guy, Zach. With the hair.
Zach.
I'll quibble with Zach real quick when he was like, getting called being a Republican in this town will get you uninvited from things. I was like, honey, bullshit. I was like, no. I was like, don't you know what half the cast of Beverly Hills is? Maybe more than half the cast? Come on. I was like, you're just in a lower tax bracket right now. Like, that's the point. Like, Jesse and Michelle might be Republicans. Okay, fine. Like, they're probably in a higher tax. Well, they're renting, so maybe not. But like, I just wanted to be like, cool it real quick on the coastal liberal elites, because they're not exclusive here. Like in Hollywood, no.
Like that was the only like thing that Jesse said that I agreed with at the beginning, when he's like, "What does being a Republican have to do with it?" Like it's this whole thing with Chris, it became a game of telephone, but then it escalated with each step. Like Janet told Jasmine, told Zach, told Kristen, but it kept getting more. It went from Republican to racist up and up. And some of those things might have been true, but the whole reason it started is because Michelle said something about the Don't Say Gay bill. She said that that's not mm-hmm. good for children. Or no, she said the Don't Say Gay bill is good for children. And see, that alone is bad enough. Like the racist, everything else, like nobody's disagreeing that she's homophobic. Like that part, we just, you know, like that part seems to be true. She's not denying that part. It's the racist, everything else. But like, that's how it started, was her telling Janet that the Don't Say Gay bill is good for children, which, you know,
being concerned that she didn't understand how the Don't Say Gay bill is bad for children and bad for everyone. And, and how, like, I guess she didn't really want to totally wade into that argument right then and there, was like, maybe just watch it.
My favorite part of this, because like I said, this is Kristen at her finest. I mean, absolute chaos. Pure, just like everyone agreed, like what a train wreck she is. They were saying, like, well, I think even Kristen said, well, don't tell me secrets because everyone knows I'm going to say it. She called
herself a walking truth serum. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the part is that, like, they finally reveal it at the end of the episode, which we all know. Was it Jesse who said, you've been fired from TV for being racist?
Yeah.
Which is how her stint on Vanderpump Rules ended. And now she's here. But so she breaks down in tears in her confessional, saying, I more than anyone know how devastating it is to be accused of being racist. Well, you just took a fourth hand rumor through the game of telephone from Janet to Jasmine to Zach to you and threw out there on national TV that Michelle was racist.
Yeah. And she only did it because she said she felt backed into a corner at that dinner party at Jesse and Michelle's house because they were giving her shit for something else. And she just decided to throw that grenade out there. And
that backed into a corner is not an excuse at all. And also it's like, oh, I've been called this horrible thing. So I know how it feels. So I have a right to call somebody else the horrible mm-hmm. thing that I've been called. Oh, yeah. That's just great. Also, I don't know. I think there's a lot worse things that could happen to you as a human being. I guess maybe as a white woman, I guess if being a racist is the worst thing that's happened in your life, lucky you, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot worse things like that happen to people in their lives. So I don't know. Is that coming off right? I'm trying to be little, like, I'm like, there's worse things that happen to people in their lives
than being accused of being on a TV.
I get how much she lost. I get what happened to her and the ramifications of all of that. But there, just while she was crying, I didn't feel very sorry for her, basically, what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel very sad for her. I was just kind of like,
See, that's why I still love her. I'm not invested in her actual ride. I'm just watching it unfold. And I'm like, Kristen Doty's back, worse than ever. More toxic than ever.
She did not disappoint.
Even though she's not smoking, I wish she was like on nicotine gum so that she was always just popping at least nicotine gum and just like chomping on it or something. Yeah. That would be great.
I did enjoy how much Jax was enjoying himself at the dinner. It was like Erica at the reunion where he knew it wasn't about him and he didn't do anything wrong. So he just has like the glass of champagne. He's just looking around smiling because he's like, I didn't do this. This wasn't me. I'm going to enjoy this. I appreciated that.
Like finally.
Do you think Jax and Kristen have a future? You know, even Brit, I've been seeing it online where people are like, long-term end game, if Brittany and Jax split up, Kristen and Jax have this like understanding of each other. And even tonight or this episode, even Brittany, when she said, like, you know, Kristen's kind of like Jax, and They're kind of soulmates, but I don't think the kind that would end up together. I think they are like that issue last week. Not siblings because they've hooked up, but you know what I mean. Yeah. I think it's like platonic chaos, I guess.
Platonic chaos, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think they're soulmates in that sense, non-romantic soulmates, like soulmates in chaos. Something like that.
How do we swing a deal like Jax's where he has the bar named after him and has all these like sort of powers without spending a dime? Like he flat out admitted. He said, I don't pay for anything. My investors did all this.
He hooked up with the right investors. Yeah. We need to
find that.
He got it right that he recognized that he had a name and he found the right people. That place is right next to Rocco's in Studio City. I'm not sure if it's the same owners or not who are like investing in the Jax Studio. It could be. So, and it could be under that liquor license. You know what I mean? Because those are hard to get. So, you know, I think in that way, he was just kind of smart where he was able to hook up with the right people. And knew, just like when you're making, unlike J-Lo with making her film, you don't put your own money into your own film. Don't put your own money into your own. Like, it's almost Trumpian too. Like Trump, how does he make a lot of money? He licensed his name onto buildings. Yeah. He get paid those. He didn't own those buildings. He put his name on buildings. Lots of companies do that. They pay their name. A lot of buildings make money off of licensing the name of the building, just like Staples Center, which is now crypto.com. Like, that's how that building runs.
Does this mean we're going to start seeing skyscrapers with Jax's name on them? I hope. Jax Tower.
If we're lucky.
That's where, going back to Pump Rules, one last thing, that's where Katie and Ariana made a mistake.
Yeah.
They're not, they put their actual money into their little money pit of a of a sandwich concept.
Yep.
You know how you could help us? How you could help us squander? First, we need money to squander before we start the PCP. Some podcast about us, sandwich shop, food truck. I don't know. Subscribe. Yay. Once you subscribe, you don't have to worry. An alert will pop every time a new episode drops. So make sure to do that. And of course, rate, subscribe, review, and follow. We're on Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast and Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. Don't forget that Y. From those accounts, you could find our personal ones, Stacey's, Nate's, and mine. And who wants to say goodbye?
Ciao. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.